Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Raw Preview. I'm Michael Sidgwick, joined by Michael Hamflett to discuss everything that's in store for us for tonight's show. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from, the Daily Wrestling Podcast, where we not only preview and review Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have wrestling interviews, roundtable discussions, and we hold a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. I went off the rails a bit there, but it was a good pronunciation of premium.
You were thinking of the face of Revolution.
I was indeed. Will Bourne can do a better intro than that. I don't care. I nailed premium. you're only here for the voices, but unfortunately, the voices guys off today. Yeah. So you're just stuck with me and Hamflett. And we are also stuck with our core dynamic of the Raw preview, which is his somewhat naive, but nonetheless admirable enthusiasm for a show that we do not share. We have come to terms with the idea of Raw just being the silly thing we can laugh at. But unfortunately, they're going to start trying. Yeah. Their version of trying isn't particularly good. But we are on the last stretch on the road to WrestleMania. The obligatory filler of Elimination Chamber is done with. But of course, we are like 48 hours removed from it. So you know what word I'm going to use now, don't you?
Hit me with it.
Fallout!
Oh, God.
We've already done the review podcast of Elimination Chamber, which, of course, you can access wherever you get your podcast from. So keep it brief.
Fallout and Go Home in our podcast, and this is one of them, like, curtains I don't mind pulling back at this point, is a bit like a Terry Funk retirement. It's never going to mean what you think it means when you read it, and we're going to keep doing it forever, forever, forever.
Because everything we knew was going to happen happened.
And WWE haven't actually produced Fallout and Go Home shows for years. This is a concept that used to matter for selling pay-per-views. It's one that we certainly see the Go Homes with AEW. The Fallouts are often too depressing, but like, in theory, a pay-per-view should have one and the other because it shows that the event you just paid for matters and that the weekly episodic investment you have is rewarding and things like that. WWE just don't see it that way. We can't preview something tonight that should make up the bulk of this preview. This is the 1500th episode of Monday Night Raw.
And is it actually? It is, isn't it?
Well, they have undersold this to such a degree that it has indeed got people questioning it. But yes, there's been 1,500 episodes of this. Unless they're doing, because they did their 15th anniversary before the anniversary date.
Yes.
I think because they wanted to get it in late 2007 instead of early 2008 when it would have dropped properly. But yeah, as of last week, there was all of this feedback about it being Raw 1500. What are they going to do? And the answer to that is nothing, apparently. These are the days of the Attitude Era when you'd never get these milestone episodes because they were too busy focusing on lunch to be bothered about the old stuff. And yet, surely we're in the era of this sort of like backstage party nonsense and clips. And I don't know if you ever saw this, but there was this time when Steve Austin drove a truck into the building and sprayed the McMahons with, not water, but beer.
Oh, I remember that.
Beer is coming. As it was that night. But yeah, no mention of that whatsoever. No sense that they're going to be too bothered about it. Other than,
if they rang a few legends, would know about it at this point. Because the legends that didn't ring up would have pretended they'd received a call and just said, I was a bit busy for the Fed.
Yes.
You're never too busy for the A. So would have had like some of the usual suspects, more delusional Our Buff Bagwell, our brother Rogers couldn't make it. Doing a show in Wichita, you know.
That's it.
You know what I mean? So
picture an airport in Poland.
Yes. Buff Bagwell. So, we were so looking forward to this. It's almost fitting that Will Bourne's off today because we, for the past however many months, were just desperate to play a certain game on the eve of Raw 1500, or indeed the next time they were desperate for a rating and they were going to do a Legends night because we were going to play a game. We didn't have a name for the game.
Mm.
Can you think of a name? Or I'm putting you on the spot. Because, like, the game is going to be, you know how on the nostalgia shows, you know I know, that they just have, like, remember that they have, like, parties with no music?
Yeah.
And it's just like, what are you dancing to? It's always, it's always the divas who are dancing. It's like, of course, you are. Like, Sergeant Slaughter's not going to bust a groove.
So, but he is going to have a long chat.
Yes, he's going to have a long chat reminiscing over the halcyon days of the Fed with Eve Torres.
Yeah.
Rosa Mendez.
What about, because it's so transparent that these people never would have met, let alone got along in real life, punch drunk like, because they're sat there having to like sort of sip from this punch bowl red cup stuff and have a silent chat so you can listen to the conversation happening in the foreground. Punch drunk like.
I like that also. And then to link it to like the pro wrestling podcast world, you could call it What Happened When? And then the when? Because we weren't in here at the same time.
What happened, comma, when, question mark.
When? Because it's just ridiculous. I had a bit all set up where Greg Valentine is going to be having like a bit of whatever red stuff's in this glass with like Rosa Mendez.
Hi.
What on earth could they possibly talk about?
Simon Miller's ups and downs. He's like, why? I don't know why.
It's a shame we can't play this game.
I know. It'll come back around again. There's always, it'll be July the 4th or it'll be someone's birthday or there'll be a reason for a celebration or something like that.
Because they dropped the pretense of doing it as an excuse for an anniversary at some point where it's just like, Legends Night.
Yeah.
We got a terrible rating last week.
USA Network Panic Week.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, what a goddamn shame.
So I think as well, typically, over the last 2 or 3 years, the guy that's been the headline act that they've been able to get for this ratings drawing evening is working a pay-per-view in 6 weeks, probably.
Yes.
So it's not even like they can have him be like, stick around, Austin's coming, we promise, stick around.
Beers and cut an unscripted promo, everyone's going to say it's great, and everyone's going to say, why don't you do that all the time? But back to Fallout.
Yeah.
There's no Fallout, because...
Oh, really? No.
Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair, pretty much everyone said, oh, they'll botch it all the way, but they probably will get to WrestleMania, and in fact, they have. They're going to have a contract signing at some point or whatever. Not much Fallout to really sink our teeth into there. The other major title development is kind of probably going to be confined to SmackDown, though, because it's champion for champion, I wouldn't be surprised if they advanced it on Raw as well. The Fallout is... The majority of the Fallout is going to sort of spill over to SmackDown. The fallout is every key player on the Raw brand is going to be doing something different to that which they've been doing building for the past however many months. Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins were going to do something at WrestleMania, but now Steve Austin's coming back, so what does Seth Rollins do?
Yeah.
Like Riddle and Orton are probably going to have a match. There's just so little that's like the past 3 months are probably going to get erased tonight as they begin in earnest to build to WrestleMania, which is the real quiz, in the last however many months have barely informed. So basically what I'm going to ask now, because it's good for the copy, it's going to draw the eye on Twitter, is this the night that Cody Rhodes debuts? Or are they, dare I say, going to have a little bit of fun with it first?
I want both. That's the thing. I want all of it. I want the fun. I do want the fun. We were talking in the office about this because we're just both so excited about the chaos that Cody to WWE potentially brings and how it will look and how it will feel and what he'll say, and every single granular detail of this just fascinates the both of us. And I want almost a lift of the CM Punk stuff. So Kenny was wearing a Cookie Monster t-shirt, MJF doing there as you sit there in the ring, hopefully in as much pain. I want Roman Reigns to allude to Vince McMahon when referring to the bloodline and suggest that wrestling's got more than one royal family. I want them to enjoy what everybody now already knows. And yet I also want Cody Rhodes tonight.
Yeah, no.
I want Cody Rhodes on Friday if he's not there tonight. I want Cody Rhodes the following one. Now I want Monday Night Rhodes. Like, get him on screen now because there is just 6 weeks till WrestleMania. And this is probably the hottest that Cody is going to be before WWE just happens to him. And then, like everybody, he becomes normalized or the novelty wears off a little
bit.
Spoke
on the wheel.
Yeah. And ultimately, he signed the guy that told him exactly how it would be if he ended up going back. So he knows what he's headed into. But night one, especially, should be the most exciting. It feels like something... I hate to say this because, obviously, we all love a good surprise. But it does feel like something WWE would promote. And I would like them, I would much rather promote it with a bit of elegance like they sold out, like AEW sold out a building without mentioning CM Punk's name.
Yes.
I genuinely believe WWE, with just the tiniest bit of craft or copying their notes, could do as well. Part of me thinks it's going to be splashed up there on a breaking news, Sports Illustrated type splash of a Wednesday afternoon, tonight on this Friday on SmackDown, or on a Saturday, this coming Monday on Raw, to drive what they hope will be an absolutely mammoth number off the back of it. There's going to be total transparency, which is going to suck a little bit of the fun out of it, but they will be nonetheless captivated as and when it comes.
Yeah, I'm split on this because the threat, or the hope or the threat, it's both. That's what's so intoxicating about all of this, the hope and or threat of Cody being this incredibly interesting thing, or them just completely WWEing it and making them feel normal and doing contract signings or whatever in weeks. Bit of inside baseball here. I'm off tomorrow. I'm not working. Do you see this? You heard about this? The reason why, and I do this virtually every single time, is that it's half term for the kids. I don't know what it's called. What's it called in America? Recess?
No, that's just like break time. It's just play time.
Midterms? Is that the exam?
Midterms and the exam. What is half time in America? Half time, half term, yeah. There must be something.
Can one of our Yank listeners let us know what it's called? Basically, you have like, I'm sure they have like the equivalent to half term.
Yeah.
It's not like the...
It's the break in the middle of a semester.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do they call it? Well, we'll go with half term.
Yeah.
But it's basically when you have like a week that's nothing to do with like Easter or Christmas. Because it's always like Christian-based holidays that they get a break for because of the way, like, you know, the world is, unfortunately. Not very progressive, but it is, not really. It is what it is. So when
are you suggesting that the British school system doesn't continue to influence the world?
Yeah, I am. So we get like a random week off when.
Yeah.
So we call it half term.
Well, me and you call it admin because it's a right headache trying to decide what you're going to do with your children for a week when you've got to work. Systems are not set up to support this.
You've brought me back to the point. Thank you. That's not what I was going with it. So we get half term where they get a week off from school and you have to look after them.
Yeah.
So my son. Nursery's fine because they don't have them. But school...
Good, because we pay them enough.
Yes. Yeah. So they have half term. So you have a week off, and, you know, the whoever can help, like aunties, uncles, guardians, grandparents, in-laws, whatever, will do a lot of the work.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you profusely for that. But also the parents and or guardians have to sort of step in and take a day off work. Every single week, every single time this happens, my wife will go, Michael, it's half term coming up. Like, yeah. What day do you want to take? Tuesday. It's always Tuesday. It's by default because that means I don't have to watch 3 hours of Raw at 5 a.m. in the morning in anticipation of my kids waking up early. And I'm going to watch Raw unspoiled when I don't have to, when I could just catch up on MP4s and tweets and the odd YouTube clip if something disastrous happens, because nothing great's going to happen probably. And I'm still going to watch it. That's the power of this Cody Rhodes story.
There can be nothing, surely, at the moment, with as relates to WWE, as nightmarish as the muscle memory Twitter moment where you see either Cody Rhodes or Steve Austin as part of a tweet.
Aye.
Rather than as getting to experience whatever Cody's music's going to be or the glass smashing or whatever to confirm what you feel like you already know. It can't be a still image on a tweet, can it?
No.
Or a GIF or something like that. It's got to be, you've got to live it as it happens. Like, it's so vitally important for the moment to be as memorable as there's one I remember. I was wanting to stay up to watch Raw in, I think it was 2011 or something. I might have actually had a Tuesday off work, and that was part of it long before I was able to have the privilege of this job for them. But and it was for The Rock's eventual comeback.
Yes.
And I fell asleep in the middle of the show and I woke up mid promo.
So
I didn't get that amazing, like, they did like a long build to the, remember that, like if you
electricity crackles and stuff.
Like, I watched it back and I thought, what an amazing presentation. But I'd woke up, like, it was him yelling something that, like, shocked me back awake in the middle of the night. And I was just like, this is so cool. Oh, God, I've missed the peak, haven't I?
Yes.
I've missed the peak. And, yeah, I think that's, I mean, you have my sympathy to an extent, but I'll be obviously doing it anyway for a podcast that will, like, the victim doesn't even know yet who it's going to be. Some poor colleague is going to be dragged in into the studio with me tomorrow morning. Like, I don't know if you were watching a 3-hour wrestling show last night, but get caught up because we're going to talk about it. And then later on, we're going to preview Clown College for a Tuesday night. Like, Tuesdays have changed narratively, I think, amongst the three of us now. That it was once the Day of Dread. Like, if you think of Triple H's CW, end of NXT era CWC run, mixed with a performance centre or Thunderdome Raw, Tuesdays were like
death.
Tough, yeah. Like, as hard as this great job gets, yeah, I think we're talking about those two specific shows. Now, it's the most WWE-centric day of the week, and I couldn't be happier for it. And if there's, well, as I've always said, the roller coaster, I'm a big fan of the guy. Like, if he was to rock up tonight of all nights, you would have my sympathy a little bit. We'd get a Wednesday podcast just spewing Cody on Dynamite preview. Like, push that to one side. We've got Cody to talk about.
I do agree, and it's I don't blame them. Like, TV's king nowadays. They don't have the luxury, and it's their fault, so actually I do blame them, of just doing a really cool surprise and just letting the conversation unfold organically and then getting the rating the next week. If they want to have their cake and eat it too, do something cool, but also, like, a cynical strategy behind it. They're nowhere near as competent or as creative to do like the viral marketing campaign as much as we'd like to just see them copy it. I wouldn't even bury them for copying it. It's a great thing
a good
that
idea.
More companies should do. What if instead of doing something like that, because we know they're incapable, instead of doing the you probably will see what you want, but tune in just to make sure because the hope is what gets you. Start of the hour, backstage, you see a figure in the distance. Camera does the fast zoom a la BTE, and all you see is Cody on WWE TV.
Oh, yes.
Cupping the ear.
Yeah.
And then Corey Graves can freak out and they can say something to the effect of, we've been told at the top of the hour, this will be explained. And then they can drive all the viewership from socials or whatever.
With the literal Cody gif, but their new one.
They love like hour-to-hour retention. That's their thing. So that's why they do these show-long hooks. That's why they set up matches that you theoretically want to see for later in the night. That's a very WWE way of not doing a WWE thing.
Mm.
So I would like to see that. But
what about, remember when Chris Jericho returned? And it was a really weird one. The guy passing the torch, it was a literal Olympic athlete, and he had an Olympic torch.
Yes.
And he runs into Jericho's clothesline at the very end, and it was supposed to be that Randy Orton, something to do with torch passing, to do with Orton, some bollocks like that. Anyway, what about, like, you do the hour-on-hour build, but instead of Cody doing the ear cup, it's just Pharaoh just, like, walking along the street. it keeps coming back to a dog, and then, like, the comments are like, where's that dog going? And then the last thing the dog does is walk into the arena, and the dog looks up, and it's Cody. It's like, good boy. And then, like, he takes the lead after that.
You must be jazzed because you are enthusiastically pitching dog content.
I know, that's it. I mean, we're not going to put him out on the stage again. Don't want him nearly getting barbecued like he was the last time.
Barbecued? Well, let us know your thoughts. I think Cody is going to debut on Raw tonight. It's just it works for the copy. It absolutely works for the copy. So we've done Fallout. Honestly, this is so... we've done Fallout because... No one cares about Fallout.
Can we talk about RK-Bro?
Yes, that was actually next.
So Riddle was loyal to the story. Elimination Chamber, load of Randy Orton spots in the designated period him, Seth and AJ were given to wrestle before they were destroyed by Lesnar. Is it tonight? Genuine, like, preview fodder this, because if they're going ahead with it at WrestleMania, the time's probably now or next week to just pull some sort of trigger on the turn. And
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
in fairness to them, we assumed that we'd be able to have a big laugh at Randy Orton in a toga as a way for him to look upon what's happened to his life and think, this has all gone a bit too far. This has all gotten a bit silly. And he didn't even wear the toga to get those feelings. He instead sort of took a step back from the party, but let Riddle get on and do his silly bollocks, and then lost the match anyway. He must be a man finally having a bit of a reckoning about how far he'd let this get. And it's time to kick him in the head. Like, it's time to realise who he really is, and it's not this friend of Matt Riddle.
So the crack is that they are not the number one contenders.
No, they're out.
Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens beat them.
Yeah.
So they could potentially have a match with Rollins and Owens again tonight. And if they get beat again, and then they've got no chance of challenging for the titles, that's when the thing could take place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really interested, I just realised.
You're not interested?
I mean, I want to see Riddle get his head punted off as much as the next guy.
Yeah.
But I just feel like the big stupid toga celebration, a la the Festival of Friendship, was the time for Orton to think, what do I look like here? Yeah. What do I look like here? So maybe they'll build it for another week or so.
That was a grim under-delivery, that toga party, wasn't it?
Yes.
The whole thing. Like, that was what we got. That was the people backstage just milling around segment, wasn't it? Yeah. Mm. But I just think they're high on it. I don't think they'd have put this much work into it. And it's an Orton program, so it's not nothing. Yeah. If it was another mid-carder, then maybe you could just see them scrapping it out of hand. But it just feels like it's undulated this because they got it so over all over again that then we started thinking, well, maybe just run this past WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But it started to sputter a little bit. So split them now.
We're getting wrong-footed by it, to be honest.
Yeah.
We are getting wrong-footed by this in not the best possible way. It's not frigging AEW. But you know what I mean? Like, it's with everything else leading up to Elimination Chamber, you could say, right, this is going to happen. Brock will probably be cool, but still very much beat for beat how we expect this to play out. We don't really know when it's going to happen with RK-Bro, and I guess that's good.
Yeah, they've earned some suspense. They've earned people's investment in the eventual split. And look, we're talking about how often in WWE, I know it's WrestleMania, so it's slightly different, but how often in WWE could you be 4 to 6 weeks out from a pay-per-view and offer sort of storyline-based speculation on a match rather than just name A versus name B, or the Family Guy manatees putting wrestlers in ideas balls together next to each other. Like, this is informed off months and months and months of them working together and little teasers about them coming apart at the seams and all that. So yeah, I like the end of 2021. Like, sometimes you kind of have to broadly credit them for something, and I think you still can hear just about.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, we are on the road to WrestleMania. We can kind of guess which people are going to wrestle, which other people on the basis of who they're not actually in a program with. It's long been mooted that Edge and AJ Styles are going to have like I respect you mid-build. That will be this match that you'll never believe is as good as it is on the night.
Mm-hmm.
How do they arrive at that, if in fact they are arriving at it? And if they're not arriving at that, what does Edge do? Because you've got to imagine that he's going to be a big part of their WrestleMania plans.
I think they are going to arrive at that. I think it's something most people want to see. Edge seems to have found quite a nice balance between the lovely returning hero vibe that surrounded his 2020 return before the pandemic throttled it, basically, and the serious guy that was a bit much.
No, it's too much. Like last don't year. Say, don't be generous.
Joke. Do you know why I'm generous towards that? It's because of the huge bap that he got at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like that. Kind of that shocked me to the core that people had watched this Edge and were still just so buzzed to see him live that they would give him that kind of reaction. Yeah. It kind of like put me in my place a little bit when it came to Edge, because I was sick of him in that bit. I remember thinking,
TV audience shared your opinion.
Yeah,
I remember. Why is Edge weird now?
I remember thinking, well, thank goodness Brian's saved this program yet again. And then he wasn't the most popular babyface in that triple threat. So, Edge AJ is probably what they should have done instead of Edge Randy Orton. In hindsight, for the good that program very occasionally offered, and I know the pandemic had a lot to do with like why it failed, but it was, you're seeing a match that you've already seen, you're seeing pairings that you've already seen, even Edge and the Miz, even with a new context of a mixed tag or with the new stuff they were talking about, still felt like something that probably happened, even if you'd forgotten it from 2010. This is brand spanking new. This is so new that I still remember their interaction in the Royal Rumble and thinking, oh my God, Edge and AJ Styles, there's a class of ages I just never thought I'd get. So there's probably not much more to it than that. Edge says, look, I'm like AJ, you're a great wrestler, you become a big deal. But like, I was a master of this game before you even arrived. I was like the usual sort of legend pattern. Like, I was doing all this when you were sort of wrestling for free in a ring that wasn't even square in Orlando.
In Dixieland.
The idea that you could say, like, I was rated R when you were still saying you were freaking sorry. Like, the he can, like, have a little bit of a dig, but he can do it in that way where he's, like, Edge can have a chip on his shoulder even when he's a babyface. And I think he found that voice in the Miz program. That was the net positive of that feud with the Miz.
That's some nice deadpan wit about him for a change.
It was, you could see a little bit of it coming back. And I think that's probably the way you go with WrestleMania, if only because I quite like new, earnest, I'm just going to see what I've got left, AJ Styles. I don't particularly need a panicked AJ Styles heel turn for this match.
No, me
neither. I've really quite enjoyed this most recent iteration of AJ.
Yeah. I mean, I personally can't see a way that they do anything interesting other than we are wrestlers who starred in different eras and won't it be cool if we wrestle?
And it sort of is.
And it is really cool. Yeah. I don't know if it's 6 worth of TV cool, but like, it won't be bad, like, remotely. It'll be serviceable. It'll the destination, the means will justify the ends. I would like to see them tell a story. I just don't know what that story is. Because if you like, being genuinely unbiased here, I thought the CM Punk Darby Allin thing was good, the build, but they couldn't possibly make it captivating TV. It was enough that CM Punk was back. It was enough that the match itself was really strong.
Couldn't be a blood feud.
It couldn't be a blood feud. The whole idea was, I just really want to wrestle you.
Yeah.
And we are quite similar. And let's have a match.
Have I got it? Have I still got it?
The idea of CM Punk being in the ring, just being there, was more than enough to carry that program. This doesn't benefit from that. But I can't pretend that CM Punk versus Darby Allin as a feud was really compelling must-see TV. Mm. It was just a vehicle to get CM Punk back in the ring. I think it's just a vehicle to a good match, but at the very least, there'll be minimal bollocks.
Yeah, I think so.
Minimal bollocks. Maybe I should be a little bit less pedantic about it. Finally, the last bit of content. We know that they're doing Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch. I really can't see them doing particularly anything interesting with that. I'm kind of shocked that Steve Austin versus Kevin Owens, and it is in fact happening by most reputable accounts, is built on like a house show feud. Mm. We were talking about this in the office and we were kind of puzzled by the direction they've taken, because like, if they were doing the first Canadian show, wherever Edge is from, where's he from?
Toronto.
Toronto. Yeah. They're doing the first big Toronto show on a live event loop and they were struggling for tickets. You could expect someone like, I don't know, Austin Theory dissing Ontario or Canada in general on socials, and then Edge could say, don't you say that about me and my place. We'll have a fight and I'll beat you to prove that Canada's strong. This is like a WrestleMania-sized program, and I understand why they're going with it because they want the Texans to stump up the cash to see Austin defend their honor. It's not really translating to the TV audience, any of this. How do they transcend it? And is that... You know what's so awesome about Daniel Bryan's return is when the second they said, he's back, it's like, right, okay, powerbomb that motherfucker on an apron right now. The most like hardest part of the ring, etc. Give him a really horrific bump to make people realize, one, oh my God, he's actually back. Two, I want to see him come back from that. Basically, is Austin going to take anything approaching and pop up a powerbomb on that apron to build this, or is it just going to be more Texas stuff?
I think it might be more Texas stuff, and this is maybe where we have to be careful what we wish for in terms of the when we've pitched something adjacent to the viral marketing campaign for Cody, because this is their version of that with Austin, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very like, localized content.
Kevin Owens is not saying Steve Austin, he's saying Texas. But what he's doing is saying Steve Austin until that is made official.
Are you saying that WWE is very good with subtext?
I'm absolutely never saying that. Yeah, like he's, until he outright says Steve Austin or until we get, and it's official from Michael Cole or a graphic or whatever, that's what's happening currently. And it's, the more people know about Austin coming back, the more that these Texas comments will be as loaded. But I don't know how far you can stretch that. I think it was interesting to me before it felt almost dropped that Owens couldn't get onto WrestleMania. And this Texas negging was as much to do with, well, I'm just going to be a complete arsehole. I'm going to rabble rouse. I'm going to be difficult and I'm going to slag off these fans and I'm just going to be hard work. That seems to have gone aside in favor of just slagging off the local hometown. And of all the shows, I understand the point, obviously, about, well, how many people from Dallas can we like rustle in for the building? Cowboys Russell, and that's about right, isn't it? Yeah, but like, but it's WrestleMania. Like, you're not just appealing to people from Texas.
Yes.
Of all the shows, it's not. It's the opposite of a local house show, isn't it? It's an event where the whole world is going to travel. And I just
stupendous.
It's the most stupendous team at WrestleMania of all time, I've heard. But I just, I don't hate it, but only because I don't hate the outcome. I'm so blindly in love with the prospect of Steve Austin, like, putting on Trunks, those two giant knee pads and his boots, his knee braces and his boots. And it's good. This is going to look even more of a wrestling match than when in 2003 when he fought Eric Bischoff.
Yes.
And he was theoretically good to go back then. And this is 19 years later. So the prospect of that, for me, will overwhelm any terrible build. But I completely understand the criticisms towards it if this is kind of all they've got. Stunner versus Stunner doesn't do much for me either. And it's not like they went mega hard on that with Goldberg and Reigns. You know, they didn't push Spear versus Spear particularly. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it is just going to be more localised winding up from Owens.
Let's just do a blood-soaked heat angle.
I don't think they've got it in him.
They don't.
I mean, it's Austin, though, so you have to assume he's exerted some creative control in every beat of this. But I would be amazed if he hasn't had full sign-off. I know plans change, pal, and you get to Raw and so-and-so, but some things are different, aren't they? It's WrestleMania season, some things are different, and I'd be very surprised if it was to happen, something happened tonight and then something happened with 3 weeks left. Both those weeks weren't very carefully poured over by Austin and Owens, where, well...
Austin.
Owens gets to be there and say, yeah, cool. But, yeah, Austin making it very clear what he will do, what he won't do, and what he thinks is acceptable or unacceptable. Maybe not, but it feels like he would have that say as part of this deal.
Yeah, Austin can't possibly have spent the last 20 years of his life, I don't want to say bitching because that's what I do as well, but just complaining, critiquing their stupid scripted promos.
Mm.
I mean, he's a businessman and he's working for someone, not himself. So he can't exactly go up to Vince and say, I'm not saying a word that these idiots say for me. I'm going to do it all myself. That's not the reality. Like, Vince is in charge of this, as he's in charge of everything, even Austin. But you've got to expect they're going to do something better. And given, as you said, like Austin's leverage and all the rest of it, you'd expect that if he gives a toss. And he always was adamant that he was not going to come back, then so was The Undertaker.
I might have come up with a fantasy booking scenario that will placate both everybody until Steve Austin comes back and you specifically.
Ah.
Are you ready for this? So Kevin Owens is in the middle of the ring,
yes,
cutting a promo. Wherever they are, it doesn't really matter, but he's negging Texas still. And these fans are kind of, if anything, they're just getting annoyed that he's still out there wasting their time because they want to see some WWE action, goddammit. And he's out there just talking
about WWE entrances and fireworks.
Yeah, that's it. They want that bit. And then they can go and get a drink once they've seen the bit they actually paid for. Then Austin's not coming tonight. He's not been advertised. It's not happening. So Owens is just doing this to fill TV time. And then we get that little tease. We get that. So if you people here in Cleveland, you people aren't in here, Cleveland, want to see me beat somebody up, give me a hell yeah. And there's a little tease, right? And everybody goes, boo. And he says, so I must have misheard you there. Like, everybody here in Cleveland, if you want to see me kick some ass, give me a hell yeah. And then all of a sudden, through the booze, through the hairdryer noise that WWE have supplied on it, hell yeah! Byron Saxton stands on the table and he wants to see Kevin Owens kick some ass. LTST. Like Kevin Owens has got Byron in his corner as his cheerleader in the road to WrestleMania because he's never forgotten what happened on 316 Day 2020. He's never forgotten.
Neither have I. That line reading was incredible.
I know. That's funny. You know what made me think of that is you talking about, you know, Austin's not just going to read some scripted nonsense. And he's like, well, he did that, didn't he? He took out four cue cards. You know what? 316 Day is when he got a gun rack with a gun rack on it.
That's 316 Day is when the beer drank you. It was like rubbish like that, wasn't it?
Chuck Norris jokes, but with beer on top of it.
Well, this program's going to suck then, isn't it? He'll do out for old rope. He'll do absolutely out for old rope with Steve Austin. Ah, that's going to suck. But one more thing to do.
Okay.
I was going to do the Valley voice. That's not it. Baby, you can drive my what? Will he come back in the little sheriff thing?
Oh, God, I hope not.
You know how Shawn Michaels, when he was coming back for Crown Jewel?
Yeah.
The guys. I'm phoning it in. He's very insistent and very intent on making clear, guys, it's just a stupid thing for
Please lower your expectations because I haven't wrestled in 15 years from it and I'm going to be expected to carry this.
Yes, basically he was like, come on, it's like a reunion tour, guys. We're just doing the greatest hits. Like, put it this way, I've been there with Kane, not AJ Styles. Oh, yeah, it's only Kane. So there's only so much I can do because it's Kane and Kane sucks. If he comes out with the big stupid sheriff, what was it?
The ATV.
The ATV.
Austin Transportation Vehicle. Oh, God. The darkest days of Stone Cold Steve Austin's character in my book. People, we're going to get some ruthless aggressions, some truthless aggressions on as a result of this.
Yes.
Because some people love all this, but Sheriff Austin was...
If he comes out in his ATV,
low.
That could be Austin's means of saying, guys, I'm just... I'm not doing much here.
You see how much money? 100,000 people in that building. Right there.
So if he comes out in the... ATV basically comes out in a beer truck,
yeah.
But he's wants people to associate,
he does like wheels, though, doesn't he?
Does like wheels. Yeah. So I think, baby, you can drive my what?
Good,
it's gonna be an Austin vehicle. So, my opinion, ATV Austin's gonna be like a tacit clue of guys, it's 2003, it's not 2001. This is gonna suck. I'm just getting some money, and this will helpfully clue you in. Comes out the beer truck or some kind of like, I don't know. Gimmick where he can like do some kind of mad 1998-esque stunt.
Yeah. With his own beer brand on the side of the truck as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What's it called? Skull IPA.
Aye, something like that. He's not done a very good job.
Skull IPA.
Broken Skull IPA, isn't it?
That's it, aye. So that's my pick. I think, baby, you can drive my... What? He's going to come out on an ATV for the express purpose of making people realise it's just Shawn Michaels and Saudi lads, except it's in Dallas.
Oh, God, we've both separately killed our own enthusiasm for Austin. Like, oh, man, I don't want to see that, but that could be possible. So mine is probably one that we should have spotted all along. You know how every single week on Raw for the past sort of couple of years,
yes,
every week without fail, we see Bianca Belair and Montez Ford arriving together by car? You know how every week that's definitely always happened?
Yes.
And it's a totally normal thing if those two arrive by car together. Well, just like every week, they're going to pull into Raw, about 15 minutes into the show. Nobody's going to complain why they're late. But you're just going to see them getting the bags out and stuff. And it's like, yeah, we've just come from the last town, that sort of thing. And then
Jeddah.
Yeah, just driven over from Jeddah. And then let's say Bianca. It could be Bianca or it could be Montez Ford. It doesn't really matter. But one of them's going to be in the ring having a match. Let's say Bianca. She has a match. And all of a sudden goes to the screen and the car's there. And Bianca stops in the track. She's shrugging. She's like, why is my car on the big screen? It's the same car that we've seen every week. Big time Bex has got the truck back, and she does to that car what Hogan did to The Rock. Crashes into it. She gets out the truck. She does a bit of fake chewing acting. Not so big time, are you? And the car's just all crunched up. And then after the show, you can get the big time Bex Bianca Belair playset with truck and car.
Yes.
For a bit of merchandising synergy after the fact.
I like that. And it's like I've always said. Bianca Belair and Montez Ford arriving in the same vehicle. That's going to pay off one day. this thing happens every single week.
Let it play out.
Let that one play out. If you would like to also play... I keep saying, dude, where's my car? I'm conflating about three different games at once. If you would also like to play Baby, You Can Drive My What?
What?
Then let us know at WhatCultureWWE on Twitter, which is the social media platform for our sins that we tend to just haunt more often. Like Instagram, I don't want to see your kids. Facebook, I don't want to see your dad. So Twitter is the place where I tend to do a lot of my social media.
I've been way too close. I don't see your dad's cat.
I want to see your dad calm. So Twitter is where you'll get me and Hamflet. You'll get us all at WhatCultureWWE. Again, you can get Hamflet on Twitter at...
Michael Hamflet.
You can get me on Twitter at MCidric. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. Whilst you're there, do not online there. Just when you're logging on, when you're extremely online, also follow us wherever you get your podcasts from and subscribe to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get them from. And until we drop the Raw review tomorrow, the return of Cody Rhodes definitely happening. We will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.